Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. And as she said earlier, I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, here on Blog Talk Radio at the Roundtable with mothers and daughters around the world. And I literally mean around the world. That's one good thing about being on the internet. You can reach people that you probably would never see in a lifetime. And you never know who's listening. It is very mystical. As we speak on Saturday morning, we don't even have a clue who's all on their computers listening, on the phone. We get a good readout. You don't know how many people are listening in one setting. So we're reaching individuals, and God is just placing our voices, His voice through us in the minds and the hearts of mothers and daughters around the world, even fathers and sons. We have a large group of men that listen because they want to know, how can I improve my relationship with my mother? How can I improve my relationship with my wife or my daughter? So they get to hear the thoughts of mothers and daughters from around the world, and it helps elevate their thinking toward their mothers and daughters and wives as they build their relationship. So, Father God, we just want to thank you this morning. I thank you so very, very much. I just want you to know that we love you. We simply adore you. We appreciate you for being God and being God all by yourself. You don't need Bessie. You don't need anybody else to be God and fulfill your vision for your creation of this world and all that is in it. And Father God, I just thank you for creating me. Thank you for giving me a mission. Thank you for giving me the understanding, and thank you for being patient with me as I sometime head in a different direction, designed me to go, having to come back as a prodigal child and say, Father, forgive me. I've sinned. Can we start all over again? Father God, I just want you to know we truly, truly adore you for your unconditional love, knowing that it's in our heart that you look at, and you look at the intent. And thank God you do that, because a lot of times we do things that is not really what lies in our heart. We love you. We appreciate you. We ask you to use us today to glorify you and your kingdom. I release myself to you. Speak to your mothers and daughters around the world. Amen. It's a great day. A lot of good things happening. A lot of good things happening. See, I'm so excited. I feel like I'm walking on air. It's just been an exciting 2 or 3 weeks. Things are happening. I'm seeing the works of the Lord just unfolding. He just doing so many things. It's just like, oh, my God. One lady said, oh, God, you're just too much. You're too much. I said, no, don't say that. He's not too much. No, he's not too much. He's just enough. And I just thank God. I'm telling you, we've been on a journey. It has been up and down and all around. And we're still on the journey. And every once in a while, it's like if you're on an airplane, you're riding real smooth, and then all of a sudden you get that the turbulence kind of. You'd be like, ooh, you got to go through that just for a moment. But if it's real bad turbulence, you know, you get to praying, boy. Everybody get to praying. Everybody get quiet. Nobody's saying nothing. Everybody looking straight ahead and acting as if I'm cool, I'm good. But in their heart and soul, they praying. They're saying, Lord, please. But the minute the turbulence settle down, everybody get back into talking and laughing and grinning and doing what they're doing and drinking and partying and having a good time. But you let the turbulence come back again, what happens? They go right back to the Lord. Kind of like life, you know? Even if you look at your life, you have smooth periods when it seems like everything is good. And then all of a sudden you'll say to yourself, boy, I haven't had an incident in a while. Man, things been going really smooth. It's been going too good to be true. And all of a sudden, bam, you talk yourself right into some turbulence. And you got to work your way right out of that. Well, that's been kind of a sneak preview into my life in the last few years. It's just like turbulence, 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 out a little bit, turbulence, turbulence, and then back in. You said, Dr. Fletcher, why are you telling us all of this today? Because the moment I said, God, you know what? This is not my plan. I don't know what your plans are. I don't even have a clue. And I'm done. And I cast all, and I literally take whatever I'm saying and take my hand and I just throw it up in the air. I throw this over to Jesus. Nope. Here we go. Throwing it over to Jesus. I'm not going to deal with it. I can't deal with it. Don't know how to deal with it. Really, we really don't know. If you just get to the point that you really don't know anything except what God wants you to know, when he wants you to know it, and how he wants you to know it, then you can say, Lord, you know what? You already got it fixed. Because if you think about it, whatever happens in your life, it's nothing that you've done. God always comes when you least expect. You can pray till the cows come home. You can cry and have a fit. But God's got a timing in your life, and you're like, wow, where did that come from? God, things have been happening in a mother and daughter ministry this past week, and we've seen the works of God coming together. We've developed programs for the mother and daughter ministry and had them sitting on the side, and, you know, a lot of times I would say to God, you know, why do you have us designing all these programs and creating them and putting them and no money to work them? And that was my question. I was asking them why. Because, I mean, we put in a lot of hours to make these things happen and to create modules and the school and different things to that nature. And he's just to sit. And I thought, well, maybe he'll tell me to give it to somebody or something, you know, because I was going to give a lot of our programs over to another lady. She was doing some things. And I thought, well, you know, we got some programs. We'll just let you have them. And the Lord, did I tell you? The Lord's like, did I tell you to do that? Now that I know, I see why. Because all those programs are in for what he's having mother and daughter do now today. So we can't jump ahead of God. And I was giving away something that really wasn't mine. It wasn't my thought. It wasn't my ideas. It was what God had placed in my heart to do for him. We're working for him, and we have to keep that in mind. And even with mothers and daughters, when I get up on Saturday morning, this is not for me. I'm working for him. He's saying, Bessie, can I use your mouth? Can I use your body on Saturday mornings? Because I need to speak to my mothers and daughters. And I said, yes, God. So when you say yes to God, then you release yourself, then he's going to start doing his work. He wanted us to understand what his will was and how to communicate with him one-on-one without having the prophets in between. He said, let me suit up, and I'm going down. I'm going to be born, and I'm going to come through, and I'm going to call myself Jesus, and I'm going to teach them. So whatever you're doing, just know that he came down, and he called himself whatever your name is, and he got inside of your body, and he's just waiting on you to say, use me. According to your will. And when you release that in your mother and daughter relationship, in your relationship with your family, in your coworkers, your job, you will see God at work. It's when you get really, really quiet, peaceful, God moves. Does move in confusion, a lot of talking, quiet, move. I always tell people, it seems like to me, when God's moving, you know, I can have all the little tantrums and talking. The minute I decide, oh, well, I got to go to the bathroom, get up, you head to the bathroom. That split second when you're not even thinking about your problem, you just go into the bathroom, God speaks. It's just like he'll come in when you least expect. Why am I saying all that? I'm saying that because once I release myself and calm myself down and realize this is not about me and I have no control over this except the power that God gives me to do what he wants me to do, things started happening. And I know you guys been hearing me talk about the website. And I've been really upset. And I'm going to share this with you because it's a part of what the Lord is telling me to share. It's a part of my lesson and learning curve. The website started with, I started with this gentleman in October and made a deposit, sizable deposit, waiting on them to show me something. Of course, things happened in their office and partners and what have you, and we got put on the back burner. And, you know, the old Bessie would have been there just having a fit, you know. But I have to admit, I didn't handle it very well. Because I complained about it. I murmured and complained to everybody I could. I was just upset. And I murmured and complained to the guy who owned the business. But his mother and I are friends, so, you know, I was trying to not go too far overboard. But and I started to call his mother on him, but, you know, I thought, he's 40-some years old, my spirit said, now, come on. But I knew if I'd have called his mother, she would have said something, but the Lord didn't want me to do that. So I was getting really impatient. And I was like, you know, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. I don't see anything. So emails, I can't even tell you how many emails and texts that we've done from October. It started in September, but the latter part of September all the way up to now, it has been a battle. And what I realized was that every time God showed me a vision for a website, time, I would engage with somebody to show them the vision of the website. They're like, oh, I can do it. They really couldn't do it. But when I got with this company, and God said, they could do it. But the enemy tried to stop it because the way this particular website is designed, you know I didn't do it. It is designed by God. And the depth of this website is incredible. When you look at it and follow it as we grow through it, you know, it is up, gorgeous. We still got some work to do on it, but I decided to still share it with you today. But you'll see changes every day. You're going to go on there, you'll see something different and something new because it's a work in progress. And then God said to me one day, he said, I said, Lord, I cast this over on you. I cannot handle this. This is your website, your program. Psh, throw it over on Jesus. And I kept moving. But I called the gentleman after I got to talking to God. I texted him, and I said to him, I turned you over to Jesus. I'm not going to worry about it. And God said he's going to have a conversation with you. Now, he thought that I was putting some kind of spell on him. I'm like, I'm not. No, I just told you what the Lord said. About a week or so later, God said to me, get your computer and go to his office, and you go there every day until this gets done. And I walked in there this past Monday being a week. It was a prior Monday. And I said, I'm here, and I'm sitting down. I got to a desk, and I sat down and opened up my computer, and they love me. I love them. So they're like, oh, no, you don't have to do this. I said, no. The Lord said for me to come. I'm coming every day. Now, if you don't want me here, you call the cops and you have to get me out. But I'm coming every day. Oh, doc, you know I love you, da, 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 da. Nope. You're not playing that charming on me. I'm coming every day. And, boy, the next day, they kicked in. They was like, you know, you've been really patient. Some of the other guys in the place, they said, you've been really patient. We're surprised you've been as patient as you have. I said, but that's because of the Lord. Because if Bessie May had come out, she would not have been patient. So they laughed. I said, no, because Bessie May don't have that kind of patience. And so in the meantime, we got started. And Z, I have to give it to him. Anybody need a website? He's a bad boy. He really, really got what God has said. He really laid it out. And before we leave today, I will tell you about the website. I don't want to get too much into that because I do want to get to the business at hand today. But I'm going to take some time out at the end to make sure that we go over the website and tell you how it's growing and where it's going to. We've got a major company that has picked us up to sponsor us, and he's sponsoring us with our programs, and our program one being substance abuse mothers and domestic violence mothers, helping them to get, God asked us to be the bridge that will take them from where they are in a bad situation and help them walk across the bridge as we educate, train, employ them to get to the other side and start a whole new life. We're excited about it, got a great sponsor on it, and things are happening with it. Our goal is to bring together 10 million mothers and daughters around the world this year, mothers helping mothers. And in the meantime, that's our focus group. That's our cause. And we're going to find housing for them. We're going to, because most of them, when I met with them, they said the reason we go back into the treatment centers because we don't have family, we don't have food, we don't have money, we don't have housing, don't have a job, and nobody's helping us once we come out of the treatment center. So what, we don't want to go back into that environment, but they don't have a choice. Now, we can't save the world, but God told me to start with that group, and that's where we're starting. And it will, he will do whatever he has planned. I'm just going to start where he told me to start. And I told them that I would be back because God told me to start with them. And everybody in there was crying, and they was waiting, and they said, we've been praying. So I went last week and talked to the director, and we got things lined up. Every Wednesday we'll have training. Every Thursday, I do Wednesday, Cynthia does Thursday. And that's our support group. So we're asking you, if you can feel in your heart anywhere in your heart to help with that substance abuse group, adopt a mother that's on drugs. You know, God said, start an adoption of a mother. Everybody's adopting kids. But you got women out here that are suffering, that have children that need to be adopted. And God said, I want you to do a new thing. Adopt a mother. So you would sponsor that woman as we train her in her training process. And you say, what is that? It's whatever God puts on your heart to give. I'm not one to beg. I've never asked anybody to give anything since I've been on this program, and we've been on here for 5 years, and I'm not start begging now. All I'm doing is saying, you feel like you want to donate, you can. And that's all I'm going to say. Let God touch your heart. All righty. So now, where are we? For the newcomers, I'm Dr. Bessie. People coming on saying, who is this talking? This is Dr. Bessie at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. And if you want to invite your friends and family in, call 347-539-5078. They can listen to us. And if they decide they want to, you want to participate, just click one and it'll give me a little pop when I go to the switchboard and I'll make sure I get you on. We talked a few weeks ago about mothers and daughters finding their stories. But before I get there, let me just say this. On the 21st of March, this is the 1st of March, we have our first event for the year. The first event is really an event that was created and started by one of our very own, which is Cynthia Oliver. And we've adopted that, and of course it's under Mother and Daughter Bonding Network. And what we do is that we recognize women in substance abuse, and this is the third annual event. She's been working with them for a few years, training them, and the Butterfly Award was born from that group. And the Butterfly Award really represents women that have come through a substance abuse program, made a decision, I'm going to change, and I'm not going to go back into that lifestyle. I'm going to do something different with my life. She has affected many people with her encouragement, exercising, going in there every day, and she doesn't play with them. She's straight talk, and they're getting it. People going back to school. They're not going back on the streets. So the Butterfly Award are giving awards to the women that have mustered up enough and connected to the Word of God and their faith and have crossed over. Some of them are in master's programs now. And I'm talking about some things that's just been happening in the last couple of years, the last year. They're changing, they're doing things, and we're giving them awards on the 21st. It'll be a mother and daughter fashion show and the Butterfly Awards. You don't want to miss that. Let me tell you where it's going to be, and let me get to it. We got the Butterfly Awards 2014, Mothers and Daughter Bonding Network, and REAP cordially invite you to join us in a celebration of women of courage. This event is a donation love offering. March the 21st, 2014 at 7 p.m. at the Hollybrook Golf and Tennis Club in 900 Hollybrook Drive in Pembroke Pine, Florida, 33025. That's the Hollybrook Golf and Tennis Club. The address is 900 Hollybrook Drive, H-O-L-L-Y-B-R-O-O-K, in Pembroke Pine, Florida, 33025. You don't want to miss that. You want to see those mothers and daughters coming down that runway, and you also want to hear the stories. I'm not looking at the, let me see if I can find the flyer, and I'm going to say this real quick, and then and I will move on. But I don't want to miss this because I need to let people know that we are doing this. Can I go to events here? I'm on the website, you guys. This is absolutely incredible. It's incredible. I'm going to go to the event page and tell you. Now, what you can do, you can go to the website afterward and you can read the entire flyer and information for yourself so you'll know. Okay? If you have any questions about hand. Let's go back to last week. Again, I'm Dr. Bessie, your host. Mothers and daughters finding their story. Told you a lot about my story. I cannot tell you the number of calls and texts and compliments and concerns and statements that it's a gamut of emotions that came out of that because they thought I was being so bare and I told the truth. But it touched a lot of hearts. But I don't know, some of you out here that's been with us for a while, I introduced you to someone. Her name was Frida. And Frida, now, 14 years ago, we met in 2000 in Charlotte, North Carolina, coming across the parking lot. We were at a business meeting and just started speaking. Hi, how are you? Fine, you? Good, that kind of a thing. And she asked me, what did I do? And I told her, I work with mothers and daughters, and I had an office in Charlotte. And she said, oh, my goodness, I need to talk to you about my mother and daughter story, you know, me and my mother. Well, anyway, that's where our relationship started. And I left and seen Frida from 2000, I think, 3. She worked at the Mother and Daughter Center. She answered the phone. She worked. She volunteered at the conferences. And when I moved to Evansville, we kind of lost contact, and she moved in. I didn't realize when I came to Florida, she was in Florida, not 5 minutes away that whole time. But when her mother passed, she said, I've got to find Dr. Bessie. And she started on Facebook and everywhere till she got to me. And last week when I was telling my story afterwards, she said to me, I couldn't believe that your story was so much like my story. It's like my mother's and your story is just like my mother's. I couldn't believe it. And what it's done is solidify the fact that God is bringing people into my life that he brought into my life years ago back into my life now, and they are playing a significant part in the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network and Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministry. Frieda is heading up our division in North Carolina. She's the Mother and Daughter Division Director. She will host our events when we go there. And today I asked her if she would please share her story with us, because I couldn't believe what she was telling me. And I know, Frieda, you're on here. And if you could, you know, tell us in about maybe, say, 5 minutes or so, and then we can give everybody else a chance to maybe share their story, because it's going to trigger something in you. It's going to trigger something in you. And then I want to leave a little time on the back. Can go over the website. I want to thank my hosts this morning, Cynthia Oliver, Janice Paldo, Sandra D. And I want to thank all the doctors, Dr. Green, Dr. Wilson, Dr. Wilcox, and Dr. Lovett for being in the trenches with us and working this out. I want to thank, we have another young lady that's with us. It'll come right to me in a minute. I tell you, if I don't have things right now, I have to stop missing people's names, and I don't want to do that. I want to thank everybody that participate with us. I don't know if Ms. Davis is on. She co-hosts with us, Cecilia, every once in a while, so we'll see. I don't know who's on. I'm not on the switchboard. So I thank each and every one of you for coming on this morning and listening and participating, because a live talk show is nothing without people. So I can't do it by myself, and I just want to thank you for that. And, again, we work from As Is a Mother, So Is Her Daughter. That's our platform. That's what we do. And we were talking about mothers speaking from their hearts a couple weeks ago, and then we went to the story, finding your mother and daughter's story. What is your mother and daughter's story? Do you have you ever thought about your mother and daughter's story? Because everybody has a story. And, you know, what would you do when you discover the story? And I ask everybody, I challenge everybody to go in, look at your mother and daughter's story, write it down, and kind of go through in your mind. Is this the relationship I want with my daughter or my mother? Or did I have the relationship I wanted with my mother or daughter? You can't change the one that if your mother's passed, but you surely can talk to her spirit and get it clear in your mind so that you can make a decision to do better with your children, even the women in your life. So let me go to the switchboard and see if Frieda is on there, right there. Good morning, Frieda. How are you? Let's see. In a minute. I thought I had it. Thank you guys for being patient with me.
Hello?
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing so much better. I didn't think I was going to be able to, you all will be able to hear me because my voice was so scratchy and hoarse. But it's been restored within, since 6 o'clock through now in the morning.
Ah, but see, I know. Mine's scratchy, but you know, who cares? Just they can hear you. They can understand you. Just keep it moving. Go ahead.
Okay.
So I wanted you to tell us a little bit about what you were telling me last week about your mother and the similarities. I don't know if you can remember it all, but it was such an interesting piece. I thought we should share a little bit of that today.
Okay. When Dr. Bessie was sharing her story, I wasn't aware about what she said when she first met Les Brown. He remembered her. Because Bessie, everybody knows that when you have a name Bessie, it's Bessie May. And so I said, wow, that's interesting. I said, because that was my mom's middle name, and she changed it legally to Diane, and then she gave me her middle name. So that was something that I had just learned. The similarity was mostly about when my mother, well, first of all, my mother and I have had a very, very close relationship, saying this, with Dr. Betsy Angela. My mother was a person that believed in, she said she wasn't going to be the mother that her mother was in certain areas. So she made sure that she was involved in everything that we were involved. I have two brothers, and I'm the youngest, and I don't have any sisters. So she was confining me. I would be her sounding board. We were friends, and with being the only girl, she kind of like took me under her wings, and I traveled with her. She did a lot of. I'm really gravitated a lot to Dr. Betsy. She reminds me a lot of my mother. My mother did so much outreach throughout the community, and I traveled with her, and she did a lot of work with inner city girls, along with some of her other friends, and she had a program and a ministry. What happened was that when she was young, she was a little girl, when they had company would come over, and my mother might be upstairs or she'll come downstairs, she'll hear them say, shh, here she's coming. So after a period of time, my mother was wondering, well, why are they doing that? Like, what exactly does that mean? She could never really get the full understanding until she got to an adult. And she has an aunt, we're from Philadelphia, so she had an aunt in, I think it's Patterson, the Plainfield, North New Jersey. So she had a conversation with my mother, and she actually told my mother that the father that she thought is not her father. She said, that's my brother, but he's not your biological dad. So my mother was, like, really stunned. Like, how could she always called my mother. She said, how could mother just not tell me that? So as a result, my mother began to change to the point where, now I remember they always had a wonderful relationship, but when she found out about that, you could just tell that anger, things that were going on inside her began to fester because you could hear it in her voice. See, you could, it's like you can say and smile, oh, everything is okay, but when my mother or grandmother would call on the phone, we could be having a conversation in a house and the phone would ring. We would know, I would know automatically, I call my grandmother, I call her my mom, and I said, oh, that's my mom, because her voice, she would change, oh, hello, how are you? It would just get real cold and very distant. So my mother wanted to go, she wanted to make sure that this was accurate, and she got the birth certificate, and they went so far into it that they actually had her, it wasn't her biological dad's name, it was her grandfather that she always knew, that we always knew. So that even made it even more, she got even more angrier. And so years passed by, she had a desire to know her family. So I was living in another state, and I drove, and I think it was probably about maybe 6 or 7 hours, and I drove. So my mother can really just have some closure, or perhaps she can be able to just to know her family. So her family is originally from Whiteville, North Carolina. My mother was born in North Carolina, was probably about maybe 3 or 4 years, and then my grandmother and family moved to Philadelphia. So we go to North Carolina. We go to the courthouse, the police station, in such a small town. There were men with the same first and last name as my mother's dad. So I said, you imagine I mean, the courage that she had. My mother was such a person that once she put her mind to something, it was going to get done. And so she knocked, we rang the doorbell, and it was a gentleman that answered the door, and she was literally asking the man, are you my dad? Because he had the same first and last name. And she was trying to jog his memory, like when she was born and so on and so forth. And the man said, I'm so sorry, Duane. He said, no, I'm not your dad. So that was the first place that we went to, the first house. We turned back, we went to the police station, and the person who was at the desk, he was listening to my mother. And he said, I believe I can help you. He said, I'm a distant relative of yours. He said, I know where your family is. So she said, you do? So what happened was that he gave the phone number. We didn't actually go to the house. She called, and when she called the person's name, the person was, like, really quiet because he was – see, they knew about my mother. My mother just didn't know about them. So he knew that he had a sister, but, you know, it was by the time my mother had just made a connection, I think she was probably, like, in her early 50s. So lo and behold, we told him our location, and he said, you stay right where you are. And he says, I know where you are. And he parks his car. He gets out the car, and then my mother meets her brother for the very first time. I'm standing there. They're embracing each other. They're standing there. They're looking at each other and so on and so forth. So you made the contact, but he was a junior. He had the same name as his dad. And since his dad had died, so my mother never had an opportunity to see her father. So he introduced us to his ex-wife. He said because she knew a lot of history. He gave us some information too, but we went over to his wife. We went over there, and she was sitting down, and she said that they had a fire, so my mother never even saw a picture of her own father. But she did give her, she did tell her about her father and about but the family. She said, you have two sisters. We saw a picture of my mother's sister, a lot of similarities, that another sister was in Boston, but the one that really looked like my mother, she got killed in an automobile accident when she was in her 20s. And basically, I'm going to get to what happens when you're not honest. So my mother confronted my grandmother. And she says, well, when were you going to tell me on your deathbed? Or perhaps you weren't going to tell me. But in that generation, it's not like it is now. It was shameful. My grandmother was 16 when she got pregnant. And it was shameful. Most of the time, you know, they take you, you go to a relative's. Sometimes you don't return because it's like something that they look down on you, sin, so on and so forth. So my grandmother was really, like, embarrassed about it. That's why she didn't bring it up. But my mother said, no, you were supposed to tell me the truth. You weren't supposed to falsify documentation and lead me to believe that Papa, you know, was my father. So my mother, I saw my mother and grandmother's relationship really just plummet. It just really, I would hear them. Like my mother, it was so much tension. You could just see it on her face. Not so much with my grandmother, but my mother was the one. They would argue different times. We would like go over to the home. And then what happened was, I'm going to show you the ripple effect of it. Here it is. My mother and I have a beautiful relationship. Now, it filtered into our relationship because, let me tell you why. I thank God that, okay, my mother sounded bored, but you have to be careful because I could have gotten negative and bitter against my own grandmother and say, well, how could you do this to your own daughter? But God has shielded me. I just never took on that anger and hatred towards my grandmother. I had a great relationship with my grandmother as well. And when my grandmother got sick, she got ill. She was living by herself, and my grandmother's brother's son, which is her nephew, lived across the street. And he would say, you know, somebody has to go see about Aunt Mary, because a lot of times she's falling on the floor, so on and so forth. Someone needs to see about her. So my mother decided she wasn't going to come to see about her. And what happened was, we said we were going to have a family dinner, and I was the designated person to call everybody in the family and for all of us to meet in Philadelphia at my grandmother's place. We're thinking just to kind of have a meeting in regards to how we're going to care for my grandmother. So we all meet up. I'm calling everybody, and we're preparing the food, and my mother goes upstairs in the bedroom and never comes down. So they're saying, ask her for my mama, where is she? And we're saying, well, she's upstairs. So she's still having, you know, these emotional feelings or what have you. So we proceed and we eat. And prior to coming down to eat, my mother comes down, and instead of being loving and hugging everybody, you know, she's angry, she's cold, and she said she went to my sister-in-law, went to go and embrace her, and she said, I have to think about it, and shunned her. So then my brother, you can see the angle on his face. So what happens is that when you hold on to this and you don't walk in forgiveness, you will begin to have not great relationships with other people. So she started not to have a good relationship with her sister, with her daughter-in-law, and now it was the daughter, and I'm going to tell you why. So here we are after dinner. My brother says that we're going to, everybody to take a chair and form a circle. So we're like oblivious as to what the world is going on. We're clueless. And he says, we're going to have a hearing. So we're like, okay. He said, well, this is the talking stick, and you're not allowed to talk until it's your turn. We said, all right. So,
my mother had plotted
everything, and my mother had an opportunity to just to share, but she shared it in front of the entire family, which just embarrassed my grandmother. And said, I didn't know I was that bad of a person. And she said, at least my grandchildren love me. So my mother wanted to clear the air why she didn't want to care for her own mother, and told them about what I just mentioned to you all, but not so much in detail. And that was like really a big situation. So I'm going to fast forward it to my mother. I decided to be the one in the family to come back to care for my grandmother. And I took off from my job, and I spent probably about 5 or 6 months to care for her so she can get a nurse. She had a nurse that came in twice a week. And then my brother, him and his wife, said, well, we'll care for my mom, because my mother said she was going to put her in a nursing home. And my brother said, no, we're not going to do that, because we saw what happened to Papa. How they care for him, he had a bed sore that turned into a size of a football with them not turning him. So we're not doing that. She can come to Maryland, and me and my wife will take care of her. Well, my mother didn't like that I cared for my grandmother and loved her and my brother, because she took it as we sided with my grandmother. Not looking at that, that's the way that you taught us to love people and care for people. That was something that was instilled in us from our mother. We get that from her. She thought that we should have stayed out of it and let her handle it. So that's what happened, and my mother and I, our relationship really went sour. And God, in his sovereignty, had me and Dr. Bessie to meet in Charlotte, North Carolina. And Dr. Bessie, I was telling her about it, and so we went to the first conference here in Charlotte, North Carolina, my mother and I, and Dr. Blessy had an opportunity to meet my mother, and we did a couple exercises together, and Dr. Blessy says, well, what is it that you want for your mother, for Frieda to do? She says, well, I would like to hear from her more often. And she says, well, Frieda, what would you like? And I said, well, I would like from my mother, you know, when I'm talking, just to give me an opportunity to just to let me share. And since you got times, you know, you just pretty much dominate the whole conversation. So we said that we're going to do that. Two people have to be committed. And my mother really wasn't committed to doing it. And you have to be, you have to be committed. You have to give it to the Lord. You have to yield and ask the Lord to help you in all relationships. It has to be two people. And if you don't, you're going to destroy generations. I was the third generation. But I thank God that I drew the line in the sand. My grandmother and my mother, when they moved from North Carolina, they never really wanted to interact with the family here in North Carolina. And when it was 2009, I was bringing them the New Year, I'll never forget it, and the pastor said, if you'd like to come down to the altar just to bring your just to bring the New Year in on your knees at the altar, I went to the altar and anointed me with oil. When I got up, I heard family that the Lord was dealing with me about wanting to bring your family together. So it's going to be trials and tribulations and obstacles, but I praise God that 2 years ago I was the first person that actually my brother spearheaded, but actually just was obedient. And we had our first family reunion here in North Carolina. And so here I am. I'm the third generation that said I wanted to break that curse, that I wanted to get to know my family. And it hasn't been all that easy, but I was obedient to the Lord. We had a family reunion. It's not as close as I wanted to be, but it was a step. So somebody has to be able to be the one, the Lord that used me. And that's pretty much, that's what I wanted to share with you. If you don't, be honest. Just my mother used to always say, if you start telling lies, you have to remember the lie. So just tell the truth from the very beginning. You don't have to wear, but just to be honest about the whole situation. So it will fester, and you'll begin to see it happened to different people, especially if it might be women or the relationship might be with the men. You might think, oh, that's just a member of my family, that's just a coworker, whatever. If you begin to see those different patterns, those are things that we have to look within our own self. You have to ask the Lord to search us. Search us, okay. Creating us a clean heart.
I hate to stop you. This is good.
Yeah,
we got
it.
Some people that click. But, you know, I wanted to add something. That's a great story. It's so similar. It's just like a mirror. But when your mother, when you started taking care of your mother actually got upset with you. Your relationship changed, and she sort of wanted to cut you off. She cut you out of the family pretty much. That
right.
was her way of punishing you. And that's what the similarity I was talking about with my mother. When I said I was getting a divorce and I was doing these things, and my mother said, oh, no, you're not, she really started cutting me out. And then she started saying, we're just going to leave this and the house and the land and stuff to Angie. And I said, well, that's fine. So I witnessed that. And so with you, and it's so amazing, yes, I remember your mother. I remember coming in there, and she was a little kind of distant. You know, like I'm here, but I ain't participating, you know, kind of a thing. So we got through it. That was in 2004. Now your mother's gone. Did you all get to a point where you resolved that relationship to the point where you felt like you kind of came to a meeting of the mind before she passed? I just want to ask you that question before I go on.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
The question was, did you and your mother have the conversation before she passed on to bring your relationship back to some balance?
Oh yes, yes. Because I was visiting. See, when she got ill, I came here and I cared for her with the care for her. I took 2 weeks off. And it was a little challenging, but it got a little bit better. It wasn't like it was, originally, like the foundational. But the last conversation I had with her was on Mother's Day. And I told her, I had found a place to stay. She says, oh, wonderful. And so the last conversation was a healthy relationship. She was happy for me. And she told me that God had brought me back to North Carolina, and I was going to do great and wonderful things here, and it was a reason for me to come back. That's what she told me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing your story. I really, truly appreciate it. I know the audience got something from it because I'm sure they could see themselves in that story. We all have that story, that connection. We all can go back and look at our mother and daughter stories and examine them and find out what happened in our mother and daughter story that made our relationship even got better or worse. And what can we do if your mother or your daughter is alive today? Don't wait until they're gone to try to think, oh, I wish I had a coulda, woulda. Don't do that because there's nothing you can do once they're gone. And so I thank you for sharing that, and God bless you.
God bless you.
Okay, thank you. You know, that takes a lot for someone to come on and actually share, and especially when their mother's gone. And this is something that we do here on the radio. We share our hearts. We do the honest thing because then it's going to be a blessing for someone else. You thought it was easy for me to do that last week? No, it was not. But God told me to do it. I did it. And it helped me. It freed me up. And I went through a situation where I was like, wow, that really helped me grow and be blessed. So with that being said, I want to thank you guys for listening today. I want to tell you about the website. I want you to hold on, and I'm going to be right back. We're back, and we're here. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, at the roundtable. There's some exciting things happening. Mothers and Daughters, we have a group, our cause, women that is substance abuse, and we're excited about it. God has chosen us to nurture that group of women. I told you earlier about the Butterfly Award. I want everybody to, if you possibly can, to attend. It's a free event, and you go and just support the mothers that are on substance abuse, pulling them and showing them, because we all have some substance that we abuse. You know, we can look at it, we can talk about it, we can say, hey, that's not me. But think about it. You have a substance that you abuse. Is it food? Is it gossip? Is it sex? Whatever it is, it can become an obsession, and you abuse that. So before you look at somebody else, look at yourself, because an abuse is an abuse. And we do have a substance. Sometimes it's just talking too much. Whatever it is, the Butterfly Awards 2014, 900 Hollybrook Drive, Pembroke Pines, women that are being honored that have came out of the cocoon and flying as a butterfly, and the fashion show. You don't want to miss that. Now the website. Yeah, I'm off of the switchboard. The website, as I go through it, just to tell you a little bit about it, it's a long time coming, but you will love it when you go on. It's www.mdbn.org. That's M as in mother, D as in daughter, B as in bonding, N as in network, www.progressinmotion.org. It is a progress in work in progress. I am extremely excited. We looked at it yesterday. We went over it, Cynthia, Sandra, and myself. We got some feedback, and we, you know, got some changes. So don't be so critical. Just look at it for what it is. I did not want to go. I wanted to announce it, and there's some wonderful things that's coming up. So the first thing you're going to see, a group of mothers and daughters that represent, it says, welcome to the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network. And are you having a loving, caring relationship with your mother or daughter? Having the loving, caring relationship with your mother and daughter that you desire? If not, recap that moment when you first look into her eyes. And there you have them, happy mothers and daughters just grinning and having a good time because they've recaptured that moment and they're glad about it. This is the Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries and connected with the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network. So we do a little bit of both. And the next page you will see the flyer for the Butterfly Awards for 2014. The guest speaker is Regina Johnson, the Miami-Dade State Attorney's Office. Should be exciting. Her daughter is actually Hope. And the next page is that you go to, you'll see a page that says the house. This is something that God placed in my heart. It says this house was taken by Janice Pardo in her first photo shooting. If you look at it, that's her picture. And God said, take that house and put these words to it. The house is not a home. When the two of us are apart, and you look and you'll see the mother and daughter just really distraught. They are apart. And then in the bubble it says, we need to talk to Dr. Bessie. Then you go to the next page of the front page, and you see the Mother and Daughter, another event that's coming up. We do have an event coming up in the summer that Sandra D is going to present. We're dealing with the youth. It's going to be a leadership, Mother and Daughter Leadership Conference, and a boot camp that should take place in June. It's not up here now because we're still working on the details of that. But you will see Mother and Daughter Cruise for 2014. Mothers and daughters of all faith are coming together and participating at the crusade, I'm sorry, at the Mother and Daughter Crusades, age 6 on up. Every woman is a daughter, September the 13th, 2014, from 10 to 2 p.m. You want to save that date. Then we're coming to the next page and event is the Mother and Daughter Gala Thanksgiving Cruise. We are cruising this year on Thanksgiving. It's a whole big world of fun out there waiting us for 8 days, Mothers and Daughters Bonding Cruise. Bring your sisters, bring your grandmothers, bring your stepmothers, your aunts, your cousins, your girlfriends, because every woman is a daughter and we have a mother and daughter story. November the 22nd through November the 30th, we depart from Miami. We're going to sail to Grand Kirk. We're going to the Dominican Republic, Caracas, and Aruba. You don't want to miss this. It's the best ship of carnival, I think. We just got off of it. It's the Breeze. And once you go on the Breeze, you cannot get on another ship. So we rebook the Breeze. And then you will see the most beautiful picture of a heart made of clouds with a cross in it. That's another picture took by Janice Pardo. Now, that's about as much as I can give you. We had to get off the air, but if you go in and you go to the top about us, services, media, we have the radio on there. We have the television. You got the magazine. You will see the upcoming part of the magazine. And then you will see the Mother and Daughter Mall. You don't want to miss this. The mall will open in April. On April, we won't say a date. It's going to be opening in April. You will be able to shop the Mother and Daughter Mall. Then you will see the donation. You can go in and sign up because we have a Mother and Daughter umbrella, 10 million mothers and daughters that we want to bring together into this community. Our donation campaign is $17. We're asking every mother and daughter to donate $17 to our cause. The resources, we have a forum. You will have a forum that will mimic Facebook. Mothers and daughters will have their own page, being able to communicate and help each other in various situations. Then, of course, you got the event page and you got the contact page. Go on, have some fun. Come back every day and see what we've done. God bless you. I appreciate you. We're on our way. We have things coming. We have employment coming. We have the Mother and Daughter University coming where you can take your classes, get your degrees, and get your PhD. So tell your friends, tell them to come. God bless you. Have a great week. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great week. Bye-bye.